political commentators Newton Emerson and Patricia McBride with me this morning. Newton, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Patricia.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, morning. So, Newton, what's happened here? Is it significant what the Alliance Party has done, and is there a change in the way Northern Irish people are thinking about their politics?
Well, I think there's no doubt that when you combine it with the council election, that there has been a huge there's been a huge change in symbolic. It's a symbolic representation of Northern Ireland politics. This three-seater election we have for Europe has effectively thrown up a perfect mirror of what people have been saying for a decade now, that Northern Ireland politics would become, that is, unionist, nationalist and other, all as large minorities. Pluralities is the technical term. Nobody's a majority in Northern Ireland anymore. The centre ground is the decisive, in fact, the swing constituency for the constitutional future. And here you have it represented perfectly at the top in this bizarre set of elections that seem to encompass all our problems, Brexit and Stormont as well. In fact, in many ways, Stormont is the one consistent point of these two elections, council and European. Although it's got nothing to do in theory with either of them, it is the general. It's creating the general sense of dysfunction that Naomi Long referred to there as she, in her view, driving her vote. I think that is correct. I think that is the common theme between both these elections in what's bringing people out to vote, to vote for Alliance, and it's in particular to move from other parties towards Alliance.
Patricia?
Yeah, I think it has been significant. I think we've seen an electorate that is very comfortable with voting tactically, and that's a huge change in the political landscape in the North. That doesn't normally happen. I think that Brexit has been the catalyst that has allowed that to happen. It was very, very clear that there's a very strong pro-Remain vote, and I think the fact that two pro-Remain MEPs have been returned to Brussels is a clear indicator to Michel Barnier and to Jean-Claude Juncker that the position that they've taken on the North has been the correct one. It's the position that's endorsed by the majority of the population, and I have no doubt that both Naomi Long and Martina Anderson will continue to endorse that position and to ensure that the withdrawal agreement is the bottom line, and you know that is what they maintain, and that they continue to keep that pressure on.
Newton, Patricia's arguing that this was a tactical vote this time, and she's marking her evaluation that's significant to Northern Ireland. People prepared to vote tactically. Do you think that people would be prepared to vote in a similar fashion in an assembly election or indeed a general election in Northern Ireland?
No, the tactical vote line is a Sinn Féin line to explain the 33,000 vote drop in the Sinn Féin vote. I think that there certainly were many people who perhaps decided as Sinn Féin supporters to give a number one to Naomi Long for various reasons in this election. But it certainly doesn't account for the 33,000 vote drop or Naomi Long's 60,000 vote rise. This was a move on its own terms. This was an Alliance vote rise in its own terms. And as with the council election, Alliance, when they analysed that vote, decided it was in fact new voters that they won. What happens with other parties when their votes drop is that their voters simply stay at home. That's how change is actually driven in elections generally. So I think that these are new voters coming to Alliance, and so that would be reflected in an assembly election. This is also an unmistakable message to Sinn Féin that, and to the DUP as well, of course, that the deadlock at Stormont is beginning to drive people towards the centre, towards a new kind of centre as well, not to the UUP and the SDLP. The UUP in particular now looks completely redundant.
What's happened to the Ulster Unionist Party?
Well, the Ulster Unionist Party had a decade or more when it was quite clear to it that it had to find a space between Alliance and the DUP. There's a large political space there. In fact, it's almost a growing political space due to Brexit. And yet the UUP has not been able to make that decision. It still tries to be all things to all unionists. On Brexit, it's actually tried shifting from a softer position in the DUP to a more hardline position. It just can't accept the fact that the only future it has is to be a soft, moderate unionist party. And it's missed its chance now. I think it's done for.
Go on, Patricia.
Yeah, I think I would have to agree. I'd have to agree with Nathan that the Ulster Unionist Party's campaign just wasn't clear. I mean, the candidate that they chose was someone who was pro-Remain and didn't even very clearly or strongly articulate the party's Brexit position, you know, that they had adopted post-referendum. And they haven't really clearly set out what space they're trying to occupy politically. I mean, we had the experiments of you know, the vote column and Get Mike's alignment with the SDLP that didn't work out for the party. And I think that unless there's a fundamental change in the way that they do business, you know, in the types of elected representatives that they have and in the very clear message that they need to put out there, then the Ulster Unionist Party isn't going to recover from the electoral losses of the last number of years.
Here's John in Belfast. We'll come to John in a second or two. 0330 80 55 55. Robert in Carrickfergus. Morning, Robert.
A few points, Stephen. You mentioned about women in parties. Well, we'll have Theresa May, leader of the country, who made a Horlicks of Brexit. We have Arlene Foster, leader of the DUP, who made a Horlicks of the RHI.
Well, whether you like those politicians it's nothing to do with them being women.
Let me finish. You made a statement.
That's for the inquiry to determine what happened with RHI.
Yes. We'll have a leader of Sinn Féin in Northern Ireland, Michelle O'Neill, who has her party kept out of government when the country needs health and education sorted. We'll have the leader of Sinn Féin as a whole, a woman who is claimed to fame as she wants the English out of Ireland.
And you're a man. What's the point about
their sex? The point is you made the statement. But can I say something else? I have no concern about women and being elected as they do the job. I have no concerns at all. What would concern me more is that an IRA bomber was elected to represent us in Europe when they keep going on about civil unrest if there's a Brexit. How can they work that? Double standards.
Well, it's hardly double standards
if
someone is standing in front of the electorate on the same basis and getting voted for.
People are going on, they want us to remain part of the EU. So who do they elect? They elect a bomber who, at the same time, says that there could be civil unrest if there's a Brexit put in place.
She wasn't advocating civil unrest. She was giving an evaluation. This is Martina Anderson talking about from Sinn Féin.
Naomi Long, Diane Dodds, all elected, no problem. Local councillors, women, all elected, no problem. But how can anybody go out and elect a bomber?
Newton?
I mean, that's a very complicated question. We've got about 20 years of the peace process to explain it. Not everybody believes that they are actively electing a bomber. Some people think that they're voting to stop bombing, to prevent bombing. Obviously, Martine Anderson has sent some pretty mixed messages on that over the course of this in the council campaign. But really, I marvel that anyone in Northern Ireland is still mystified by the nuances of people voting for Sinn Féin.
And what about the gender issue, which I've asked a question about today, Newton? Is it so significant that for the first time, and I guess for the first time would suggest it is significant, all three seats have been filled by women?
Yes, it is. It is absolutely significant, and I think that women and young women need to see that represented. But I can't help thinking about how Margaret Thatcher used to say that a woman needed to be exceptional, far better than a man, simply to achieve the same results in politics and in life. No, clearly not. We now have quite unexceptional women achieving or underachieving as well as men. Perhaps you could say that's a new stage in equality where dreadful women can succeed in politics just as well as dreadful men.
That's nonsense, Newton. I think we have three female MEPs who've all proven themselves to be strong and credible public representatives.
I'm not referring to anyone in particular, Patricia.
Congratulated for that. But and I also think that it is undisputable that women are held to a higher standard, that women do have to achieve a much higher standard in order to get the level of respect and recognition that men do in the political arena. And it has been that way for many years. And I think that the key message we need to be taken away from yesterday's result is for young women who have thought about getting involved in political life at any level, whether that's in local council, as a constituency worker or whatever, that now that you can see it, you can be it. No, there is a role for you there. I mean, you look at the candidates that were there, Claire Daly and Jane Morris as well, as the three women who were elected, all strong campaigners, all very credible political leaders. You know, and I think that that's the positives we should take away from this.
Patricia, thank you. You know, it's nice to talk to you. Thank you very much. The journalist Amanda Ferguson tweets this morning, yes, Stephen Nolan, we care it's three women. You can't be what you can't see, so we want girls of all backgrounds to see this. When we live in a society that doesn't even give women bodily autonomy, you'll forgive people for noting significance of three women returned.